desire for the teaching of his word to go forth at this time. Amen. Amen. Just clap unto the Lord, shall you? Shall we clap unto the Lord? Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. 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 Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week, Brother Mitch helped launch a new series that I feel like the Lord would desire to speak to us about. In reality, it's not really a new series at all. It's really just a continuation of our worship series. Amen. Because how many know giving is worship? Giving is worship. Amen. So we're going to continue talking entitled, Let's Give. Let's Give. Worship through giving. It really wasn't so much the let's give part of that title slide that I wanted to have it up there as much as the second part, worship through giving. God is talking to us about worshipers and seeking after worshipers. And we talked about how we are to worship him with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Amen. And so the Lord is just dealing with us now, and he's talking to us. Amen. How many would desire to hear what the Spirit would have to say to the church? Amen. Amen. Worship through giving. And before you begin to think that we're doing the church a disservice by talking about giving, let me just remind you that this subject of giving is mentioned more than the subjects of heaven and hell combined. So how many would ever think that we're doing the church a disservice by talking about heaven? Talking about hell. And so we have to understand that the subject of giving was talked about more than heaven and hell combined. In fact, it's mentioned 2,000 times in Scripture, 4 times as much as the subject of prayer is talked about. 4 times as much as the subject of faith is talked about. In reality, it's literally talked about in the Bible more than just about any other topic in Scripture. So I think it's okay if we take a few services and talk about it. Amen? For here's what I know. I know there are giving principles that are found in the Word of the Lord that when followed, will bless whoever it is that is being obedient to them. I know that to be true. Anybody know that to be true? Oh, hallelujah. I've been in ministry long enough to see this principle of giving at work over a long period of time. This isn't just something that I've seen for 6 months or a year or something like that, but over a long period of time in ministry. And I can promise you that if we will follow after the principles that are established in the word of the Lord as it applies to our giving unto the Lord, it will unleash the blessings of God in our lives in some form and in some fashion. I need a witness in the house. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, and there might be somebody that's like, well, I haven't seen it. What you have to understand is don't just look for the blessings of the Lord in retrospect to your giving and your faithfulness in giving. Don't just look for it in one particular way. You say, well, you know, I haven't got some, you know, $100,000 check, or I haven't got some crazy financial blessing. Well, you might have been healed. And saved you a hospital bill of a couple $100,000. See what I'm saying? And so don't, please don't take, because I know people like that and I don't like it. You know, it's like, well, I just haven't really seen, you know, and, you know, you give to this and give to that. And, you know, where are the blessings? And I haven't seen the blessings. Amen. I think when we get over yonder, we're going to know has happened. And there's probably a ton of stuff we don't even know has happened. I firmly believe that I'm going to get to heaven, and there's going to be a bunch of us that get to heaven, that we're going to understand and know that we were healed of things we didn't even know we had. I'm a firm believer that when we get to heaven, if we care to talk about it or think about it or ask somebody about it, there's going to be people that had tumors that didn't even know they had tumors, that had cancer, didn't even know they had cancer, that had all kinds of potentially debilitating diseases that they didn't even know they had it, because it started and they were in a worship service just worshiping the Lord and faithful to the things of God, and God just healed them. And they didn't even know they had it. They didn't even know they were healed. How many believe that? Amen. And so we understand. We understand. Amen. If you see me looking down a little bit and squinting a little bit, I saved it in a lot smaller font than normal. I'm getting old, Sister Fable. I'm getting old. Pastor Tim, can I borrow your glasses? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Talking about giving and me standing up here and delivering this. Because of the improprieties of a few unethical church leaders, there's been a backlash against this teaching of giving principles in the church. In fact, it's gotten to the point where it seems that anyone who teaches the biblical concepts of giving, they're all lumped into a category of being a greedy, self-serving, money-loving minister. So any minister that gets up and talks about tithes are all, well, I know why you're talking about it. You just want us to pad your pockets and, you know, on and on and on. So just, and I don't know that we have that mentality here or mindset here. I don't believe we do. But just from the outset, let me just read to you a verse that sums up exactly how I feel as I stand here to deliver this topic to you. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brothers, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver, no man's gold, no man's apparel. So I want you to understand tonight, I'm not teaching what we're teaching because I covet anything for myself. Because at the end of the day, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God's going to take care of me. And how God can take care of me is far greater than anything I could ever gain by allowing my wrong motives to manipulate Scripture for gain. Whatever I can manipulate Scripture or manipulate people for them to give so that I could be benefited somehow financially, that pales in comparison to me just living right and doing right and being faithful and being godly and doing what God called me to do and allowing the blessings of the Lord, come on somebody, to allow the blessings of the Lord to flow in my life. I'm teaching this series, we're teaching this because the book says this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your substance. And so this is what we're going to try to teach and to declare, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Why? Verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. I'm teaching what I'm teaching because if you and I will all be obedient to the word of the Lord as it applies to this principle of giving, the blessings of the Lord are going to be upon you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not teaching this for me. I'm teaching it for you. I teach it because it is a biblical principle that will absolutely release the blessings of God upon your life. I want your homes to be blessed. I want your finances to be blessed. I want your careers to be blessed. I want your marriages to be blessed. I want your families to be blessed. I want the favor of God to rest upon each and every one of you. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching. Somebody said amen. So specifically, what we want to kind of drill down on tonight and is what the scripture would have to say concerning the subject of tithing. Somebody say tithing. So practically speaking, and some of this will be recap for some of you. Some of it may be new knowledge for some of you. We hope that everybody will be blessed by the word of the Lord tonight. But practically, the word tithing means tenth. Tenth. So when you return your tithe to the Lord, you are returning to him a tenth of your increase. Okay? So just so there's no confusion. So when we get whatever that increase is, that paycheck on Friday or whatever it is, that increase, we are to return to the Lord a tenth of whatever that increase was. Somebody said amen. But this is very important for us to understand. It is not just a tenth that we are to return to the Lord as tithe, but it is to be the first tenth that we are to return to the Lord as tithe. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Somebody say the first. Numbers chapter 18 and verse 12. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer to the Lord, them have I given you. So you get all your oil, you get all your wine, you get all your crops, get whatever, and then you give the first of those things to the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn and wine and oil and honey and all of the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. The first fruits is the tithe. The tithe is the first fruits, the first tenth of what we are blessed with and what we have. So what we need to understand is this: God isn't merely interested in a tenth of what we have. He wants the first tenth. Oh, hallelujah. He desires our first fruits. So what does that mean? It means that I don't even know how many people write checks anymore for bills, but the first check that's written should be for tithe and offering. We'll talk about that next week, but tithe, the first check. We get paid, we deposit it. The first thing we do with that is tithe unto the Lord, a tenth of what that is. We should not wait to see if we have enough left over to see if we can afford to give our tithe. Because at that point, it is not a tithe. The best it could be categorized as an offering. If it is not the first, then the best it can be is an offering. Because a tithe has to be first. Somebody said amen. You see why? Because God does not want us to pay our gym membership first. Because how many know probably what you give to first is what's most important? Come on, somebody. He doesn't want us to give our Amazon membership paid first. He said, I am to be the thing that is first in your life. This is what we've been talking about for several weeks now. And it looks, we talked about putting him first in our in all areas of our lives and all manner of our lives. But how many know putting him first in our finances is just as important as all of them? Oh, hallelujah. God doesn't want us to make sure, well, let me see, I got to make sure I got my Starbucks money first and my shopping money first and my hobby money first. And as long as I got that, then I'll give my tithe. That's not the way it's been set up. It's not the way God set it up. We need to understand, again, that even if it is a tenth we give him, it is not a tithe unless we give it to him first. Somebody shout first. Why? Because he desires to be first. Therefore, he desires our first fruits. And this is a form and this is a way that we can show him with our actions that he is truly first in our lives. He is the first thing we thought of when we got that check. He's the first thing we gave to when we got that check. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I hear people say, but pastor, after I pay all my other bills, I don't have any money left over to pay my tithe. That's because you're going about it all wrong. Why don't we start giving to God first and watch and see if he will not supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, hallelujah. Give him the first tenth of our increase, for this is the giving principle that has been established by God. The next thing we need to establish is the fact, and this is important, the next thing we need to establish is the fact that the giving of our tithing has nothing to do with the church bills, the church mission, the church's financial responsibility. So please don't, well, you know, I'm gonna give my tithe so that they can pay the light bill, or so that, you know, the staff can get paid, or so that we can whatever. That is not what tithing is for. That's not the mentality we should have for tithing. Okay? We do not return our tithing so that a bill can be paid. It has everything to do with our heart and how much we truly believe that God is the ruler of everything in our lives. Somebody said amen. For again, the issue of tithing has nothing to do with money. It has everything, with money. It has everything to do with our understanding of his lordship in our lives. So when anybody's talking about tithing, well, they're talking about money. No, you're missing the whole thing. Tithing has nothing to do with money. Do you really think God needs your money? He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. It is an act that shows our understanding of his lordship. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It has nothing to do with, if you think the subject of tithing is about money, you got it wrong. For tithing is all about our level of revelation concerning the ownership and the authority of God in our lives. Somebody said amen. So we don't give tithes so a bill can be paid. We don't give tithes so ministry can be supported. We don't give tithes so the church's vision can be fulfilled. Well, I gave my tithe, you know, for this. No. It has nothing to do with any of that. Nothing to do with that. Oh, hallelujah. We give our tithes because we realize that God is the Lord of our lives. And he sits high on the throne. The Bible proves it like this. Psalms chapter 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. In other words, in context of what we're talking about tonight, we all have to understand, my money is not my money. The earth is the Lord's, and whatever is in it is the Lord's. The world and everything that dwells in it is his. So if I'm in it and my money's in it, guess what? It's his. Well, that's my money. No, it's not. I worked hard for that money. That's not your money. None of it. Who gave you the hands to make it? Who allowed the heartbeat so you can get up and go to work? Who gave you the strength? Well, that's my money. Okay. How much money are you going to make if he takes your strength away? How much money are you going to make if he just says, all right, heart, stop beating? You're not going to make much if you're dead. You see what I'm saying? So we have to have an understanding. So this, you know, this concept of that's my money and, you know, I give the church my money and, you know, I should have a say-so and blah, 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 blah. No, it's not yours. I'm not saying you can't have a, You know, if you have a question about stuff, you understand where we are, and we want to be open about finances. I'm just saying it is wrong to have that attitude where we think that this is my money. Because he owns it all. He deserves it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Somebody say, I'm just a steward. A steward owned nothing. Somebody say, I own nothing. Nothing. Our houses are not our houses. Our cars are not our cars. Money's not our money. Nothing. It is all his. We are just stewards. And then we are to do with what we have or what God has given to us, we are to do with it what the master tells us to do. The steward didn't decide what he was going to do. He just listened to the master. And the master said, this is what I want you to do. And the steward said, okay. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when you have a really difficult time parting with that 10%, it's because you don't have it's because we don't have a real understanding of stewardship. Because when you understand, I'm just a steward. It's not my money anyway. I don't have a difficult time giving away. If, you know, if Pastor Tim gave me money, I wouldn't have a hard time giving it away. It's not mine. Anybody want Pastor Tim's money? Why? Because it's not my money to begin with. Sure, I'll give it away. It's not mine. But that's what we have to understand. Everything in the earth is God's. It's not ours anyway. So if the master says give this, then sure, we'll give that. Cheerfully and willingly. Gratefully. Oh, somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The book would say it like this, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is he that gives you the power to get wealth. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. Oh, hallelujah. It is the Lord that gives any of us the possibility of making money, having money, having things. He gives us the mind to think, the hands to work, the strength, on and on and on. He provides it all, and it's all his. Somebody said amen. This concept of ownership was first taught in the Garden of Eden. Everybody good tonight? We have to understand it's not about money. It's about ownership. It's about rulership. It's about him in authority. And this concept of ownership was first taught, I believe, in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now I was told... I believe it for the truth. I was told that botanists have figured out somehow, some way, botanists have figured out that there are basically 9 different types of original trees. And that all of the trees that we have today are just different variations of those original 9 trees. Therefore, if that is true, then if all trees stemmed, no pun intended, if all of those came from 9 original trees that God created, then the tree of knowledge of good and evil would have been the 10th tree. And God said, that's mine. Don't touch that one. God said, you can live off the other 9 and that which they would produce, but make sure that you reserve that 10th one just for me. Don't touch that one. That one is not for you to partake of. So it is that when Adam and Eve partook of the tree that God had reserved for himself, they were violating God's ownership. So when we partake or we spend that 10th of our income that is reserved for the Lord, we are violating God's ownership. and God's rulership and God's authority. And we are making it known by our actions that we don't believe God owns it all. Does that make sense? We're saying by our actions that it's ours and we can do with it what we want to do with it. We're saying by our actions that it all belongs to us. We're saying by our actions that we earned it, and we deserve to be able to keep it. The problem is that you're making him less of God than what he really is in your life. Oh, hallelujah. And just like Adam and Eve found out, how many know there's always going to be consequences for doing that? For lowering him from the position of rulership and authority. From lowering him from sitting on that throne of your life as first. How many know there's going to be consequences for that? But now here's what you have to understand, specifically about tithing. Here's what you have to understand. Now just stay with me tonight. The negative consequences do not come into our lives because we didn't pay God. The consequences came because we did not put him first. And therefore something else was first. And therefore there was another king in our lives that wasn't God. Oh, hallelujah. So our unwillingness to return our tithe was simply that reality being demonstrated by our actions. He's not first in my life. I'm not going to return my tithe to him because I don't think he's first in my life. It's not because God said, I needed your money, you didn't give it to me, so now I'm mad and I'm going to release consequences into your life. No. The consequences come because we put another God as first. And how many know any other God outside of him is not going to produce good things in our lives? Somebody needs to get this understanding, because sometimes I think we might have a misconception of this. We don't pay God off with tithe. He's not like the mob. You know, shows up and got the ball back. Oh, here's my tithe. Okay. You're spared till next Friday. That's not the right concept. Because how many know if that's the concept you have, then you're never going to give willingly. And how can you give cheerfully if you think you got to pay off some God so he don't come and whack you? Right? When we return our tithe, our actions are showing that we have surrendered to the lordship and the authority of Jesus Christ. And because of that, good things happen. But hear me, when we don't return our tithes, we are in essence pulling him from the place of ownership and ruler of our lives. And guess what? In his grace and in his love and in his compassion, he needs to work on us a little bit so we understand we haven't put him first. He's not just going to sit. Come on, somebody. When we pull him out of first, put something else in first by not being willing, and the action of that in our lives and reality is shown by not being faithful with our tithes, and so now God is second or third in our lives. How many know he's not going to just say, okay, I'm just going to be content with second. No. How many know he's going to mess with us until we get reminded God's not first in my life. I need to put God back as first in my life. But it's not because we didn't pay him off. It's not because he didn't get the money. It's because we didn't put him first. And now these negative things start happening in our lives specifically possibly in the realm of our finances, so that we'll start putting two and two together. Am I making any sense? Putting two and two together and say, okay, man, I realize negative things are taking place in my life, and it's because I haven't put God first by being faithful with my giving. So you know what? I'm going to start being faithful with my giving and put God first in my life again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name.